Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Oh Lord, we ask your grace today that you open our understanding to your prophetic words so we can be encouraged and know about the days to come so we can cooperate with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. We're going to continue the faction election war 1, and this is number 22. And this first revelation that we're going to look at, we called Foreign Usurpers Replaced. And that was given by Vanessa Weeks in the end of January 2021. Or 2020, excuse me. Sorry. She said, I had this short dream. I saw a Chinese man in a wooden canoe on a lake. Now, I have the knowledge of the rest of the revelation, which helps me to give this interpretation here. I believe that this is representing the foreign usurpers in the state and in the church, the deep state, the Chinese Communist Party supporters, and the church factions. And this Chinese man is in this wooden canoe on the waters of the lake, which I believe represents the peoples, tribes, nations, and tongues, as the book of Revelation explains that. He was wearing a straw hat and had no shirt on. And I believe the straw hat represents the mind of the works of man that will be destroyed. You know, the wood, the hay, and the stubble, right? And no shirt on, I believe, represents no breastplate of righteousness. The flesh is being revealed in the D-class. Yes, they're being revealed. Their nakedness is being revealed. He had only black shorts on, and I believe this means their walk is in darkness and is being seen because of nakedness. Their shorts, right? He was paddling with a black paddle on a still lake. I believe the black paddle represents man's works, black because they're evil works, and it's on a still lake. And the lake water can also represent the curse of the word on the peoples and the canoe, their flimsy man-made effort to live above this curse. Okay, now you can come back and read this again slower if you want to in the text. I recommend it. You'll probably get some revelation I haven't gotten. All of a sudden, directly over him came a deluge of rain on him and his canoe only. Think about that. Can you visualize this as I'm talking about? And this is a judgment of the water of the word from heaven, rain, specifically targeting these evil entities. And as we have seen in dreams and visions and prophecies and words, the factions will be targeted by God and by Planet X and their own plague. Yes, we know that things are coming. Great earthquakes are coming. And their own plague is going to shoot them in the foot once more. This rain was very powerful and knocked him out of his canoe. And, of course, into the curse of the word on sinners, right? So the canoe did not work. At the same time, another wooden canoe came up to him from the right. And I knew his only chance of safety was to get into that canoe. And I believe that this is the offer of salvation to sinners from the right to repent and to come into the kingdom of God, which is above the curse of the word. Amen. And if you as a Christian don't know that Jesus became accursed for you so that you could have Abraham's blessings, then you're missing out on something. I knew that in this dream, that he was Chinese. And I don't remember having a dream of a Chinese person before. Well, it has been the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, that has been financially supporting the mainstream media since Trump is doing such a good job of tearing them down. They've been supporting the mainstream media, the deep state, and the tech giants to bring communism on the world. And when I woke up, I thought of the freedom coming to God's people in China. Well, amen. You know, as the Chinese Communist Party is destroyed, and it will be, and the Chinese Republic comes, there will be a freedom in China and many parts of the world that they control. Amen. And if you don't know it, they're working on it right now, bringing it down and bringing a republic. Thank you, Father. And I asked the Lord for a word about this and received by faith at random Isaiah 22:17 through 23. And I added 15 and 16 to this, so it'll be Isaiah 22:15 through 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, go get thee unto this treasurer, even unto Shebna, who is over the house, and say, he's over the house, this treasurer, he is over the house of God. And what the Lord says to him, what doest thou here? In other words, God is saying, what are you doing here? Identifying a foreign usurper in both church and state that God is identifying. Okay, as you know, the church and the state were much molded together among God's people in those days, right? And whom hast thou here that thou hast hewed thee out here a sepulchre? Hewing him out a sepulchre on high, graving a habitation for himself in the rock, and for his old dead flesh, right? Right. Now, Father is focusing on the wicked leadership in the church. He goes back and forth here, speaking about both. The rock here means they think that they belong in the rock, the body of Christ, the church, right? Verse 17 says, behold, the Lord, like a strong man, will hurl thee away violently. Yea, he will wrap thee up closely. He will surely wind thee round and round and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die. Well, this represents the curse of death in the water of the word. To those who will cast forth, he will cast forth into outer darkness. That's what he said. That is a so-called Christian who does not obey and is not bearing fruit. And there shall be the chariots of thy glory. Thou shame of thy Lord's house. So this person is the shame of the Lord's house. It is true. There are many of these in the Lord's house. And it's representing the Red Sea destruction here, the chariots of thy glory for the usurpers, right? You remember that the Egyptians usurped authority over God's people. And so God took them down. Verse 19, and I will thrust thee from thine office. Well, that sounds very familiar, kind of like Judas, or Korah, or Saul, Haman, etc. And from thy station shalt thou be pulled down. Oh God, this is so good. This is so necessary and so needed. Father is going to remove the evil leadership over God's people who are infected with this Babylonish religion to replace them with his reformer leadership, as in Ezekiel 17, where the apostate leadership was taken captive to Babylon and replaced by the reformer leadership, which Deb received by faith at random this morning. It's amazing how God does this. So I'm going to read to you her text, Ezekiel 17, 22, let's see, 20 through 24. Okay. Thus saith the Lord, I will also take of the lofty top of the cedar. Cedar represents eternal life, right? And I will set it. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I will plant it upon a high and lofty mountain. I believe the high and lofty mountain here represents Zion and Mount Zion. This is the man-child reformer ministry that is replacing the evil leadership that was taken captive to Babylon. And that's the apostates. And this is on Mount Zion, which is the bride. Who is the leadership of the bride? Well, the David Ministries is, and David represents the man-child ministries, including Jesus, who sat upon David's throne, right? He was the head. And verse 23, in the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all the birds of every wing. In the shade of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And doesn't that sound very much like the opposite of the mountain in Daniel? The great tree in Daniel, in which all of the birds flocked to, you know, and sat under its shade of its branches, and so on and so forth. Yes, this is the very opposite of that. In other words, from Babylon to righteousness. That's where God's people are going, right? Verse 24, and all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree. There's the one in Daniel. Have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. You remember at the end of Babylon that Daniel was promoted over the kingdom of Babylon. My goodness, you see there? There it is. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Daniel, of course, is a type of the man-child, types of which are all through the Bible. Jesus being the greatest of them all, yeah, and the head, okay. Also, Jeremiah 3 and 15 says, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Oh, it's a treat coming for the people of God. Right from Jesus, too. He is coming. He is coming to move through the first fruits to do this work. He is not leaving it up to any man. Thank you, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Okay, we're going back to our Isaiah 22 text, to verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim. Now, Eliakim means whom God will raise up. Yes, he is raising up somebody to do this job we just talked about. The first fruits job, the reformer job. And raise up could mean the spiritually resurrected man-child body, because the man-child is being put to death by the factious today. The dragon is seeking to devour the man-child today, right? The son of Hilkiah, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which means Yah's portion. Yah's portion. Meaning his elect for this job, right? The one he has chosen. Elect means chosen. His chosen one for this job. And I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. So the reformers in church and state come and replace the apostates. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the bride, and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. And what are keys good for? Well, I think he goes on to tell you that. He shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. A key binds and looses, right? It shuts and opens. And these will come with the authority that Jesus, the Son of David, gave to the believers. When he said things like, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now, we know he's speaking to all of us, but very few take advantage of this. And that's a shame, because the people who walk by faith are the real people of God. Verse 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a throne of glory to his father's house. Yes, he will. And of course, it'll be all by grace. You know, I am what I am by the grace of the Lord, Paul said. And he was the greatest apostle, wasn't he? He knew it was by grace. He knew it wasn't anything from him. He was making everything mistakes when the Lord called him and gifted him. And she said, this scripture makes me think the Lord will come as a strong man to knock the Chinese Communist Party and usurpers down. Well, agreed. The deep state, CCP, and the church usurpers, who didn't come through the door, who is Jesus, will be judged and replaced. You can't go to Bible school and make yourself entitled to a position in the church. It just don't happen. You have to be overcomers to do that. This replacement of the usurper authorities over God's people with the reformer ministry of Jesus as the Son of David is a type of this repeat of history in our day. As I've said before, the Lord told me many years ago, history always repeats, Ecclesiastes 1:9. It just repeats with larger and larger groups of people. Jesus became a body of Christ on the earth. Yeah. Israel was individually a man, but then Israel was called that body that came from that man. Okay, and so on and so forth. It's a principle that holds out through the scriptures. And in the book of Revelation, by the way, those are corporate bodies of people there. And you can see that clearly by letting the scripture interpret itself. John 10:1-14 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, and of course at that particular moment he was talking about the sheepfold of apostate people of God, but they needed help. God was coming to do that, right? But climbeth up some other way, which is what they did. They came up another way. They came into a position of authority another way. The same is a thief and a robber. Oh, we got a lot of thieves and robbers. Now, they tell you the thief and the robber is the devil. No, the thief and the robber is the person who steals a position of authority in God's people. They're usurpers. And he was speaking of course, the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and their types in leadership today. Because history repeats. So we still have the problem, the same old problem. History always repeats. That's how you know the truth. Verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus taught that those who overcome by abiding in him and his word, he will give authority. To him that overcometh will I give authority. Okay, so verse 3 says, to him the porter, that is the Holy Spirit, openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. And he leadeth them out. Well, that's the whole purpose in Jesus' day, was to lead God's people out of the apostate sheepfold. And today, he's coming to do the same thing. Oh, glory be to God. These reformers will lead the sheep out of the apostate sheepfolds. That's what their gift is to do, to show the truth, which will set people free who love the truth, right? Verse 4, when he hath put forth all of his own, that's the only ones he wanted, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, and a stranger, in other words, a foreign usurper, will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. How do you become familiar with God's voice? By reading his word. You become familiar with him. You know what he says, right? Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Jesus, therefore, said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me, now think, who was it that came before him, right? All that came before me are thieves and robbers. Oh, that's who the thieves and robbers are. But the sheep did not hear them. Well, they stole by degrees from men a position of authority over the sheep, which they were not given by God. Yeah, it's very clear. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life, and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Now we all need to follow the good shepherd, and it's hard to tell if you're just dangling out there in the world and all the different forks of Christianity that you come to out there, who is Jesus, unless you get in the Bible and find out who Jesus is, because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. No matter how much religion wants to change him, He is the same. His doctrine is the same. His fruit is the same. And he said that no one hath entered into heaven but him that descended out of heaven. So the only one going to heaven is Jesus. That's his fruit in you, right? He that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, beholdeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf snatcheth them and scattereth them. He fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know mine own, and mine own know me. Amen. I asked the Lord about this dream and received by faith at random Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, she got that by faith at random, trusting in a sovereign God. And as the former reign power of the Holy Spirit came first upon Jesus, you remember that? That's a pattern. The son of David, right? So the latter reign power of the Holy Spirit will come first on the man-child ministry in whom Jesus lives by his word and his spirit. That's what fruit is, right? As Joel prophesied in Joel 2:23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causeth to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. So when is this going to happen? Well, this text happens right after God smites the northern army and sends them into the eastern and the western sea, right? In other words, the Red Sea. The Red Sea took out the enemies, and then they had a party on the far bank. Yes, they did. And, of course, the same thing is going to happen today, because those things are all patterns of things to come. That's how you know God is God, and he is still the same. When the people of God passed through the Red Sea and were about to enter the wilderness, representing the tribulation in Revelation 12:17, that's the first and second halves of the tribulation, right? They were baptized in the cloud, which represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As history always repeats, a great revival is coming after the Red Sea destruction of the usurpers, where God's people will receive the former rain, which the great majority have never received. It's a sad thing. It's in the Bible so clearly, with the manifestations in the Bible so clearly. People don't bother to read that. They just believe these people that have never received the Holy Spirit, who are trying to tell them about God when they don't know God. This anointing set Jesus, and in our day, the man-child body, apart so that people would listen to their words from heaven. Notice, Jesus grabbed the spotlight from the Pharisees and Sadducees. People's attention was on him. Because he believed the Word, he was the Word, and he manifested the Word. He wasn't just talk, right? Also, it is shown in Acts chapter 1 text that even though his disciples received the very best training straight from the Word himself, they were not sent out solo until they had received the Holy Spirit baptism. That's right. So just look at the pattern. It's still true today. Anyone who goes without this anointing is a usurper and a hireling. In Acts 1, 4 and 5 says this, "And being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem." In other words, stay right here, keep on doing what you're doing. "But to wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water." In other words, they came up out of the Red Sea. That was the water. And then they were in the cloud on the far side, right? "But you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence." And that was at the very beginning of the tribulation, the wilderness. You don't want the Holy Spirit? Oh, you don't like that speaking in tongues stuff? Oh, somebody told you it was bad? You should read what the Bible has to say about it and believe the Bible. If you believe these usurpers, you're not going to do what God wants. They don't work for God. Okay, so now, here is another revelation given to Claire Pinar. You say, how do you get all these? Well, God just puts it in the heart of people to send them and at the right time, and it goes out. So, and this one we called High-Tech Hitlers. Ooh. And Claire got this on January the 2nd, 2021. So, first let me say, who is it that has put all the usurpers in government office? Well, you know, it's the mainstream media who puts the deep state politicians into office and takes the good ones out, which they just got through doing that, by the way, and it was all cheating. And they have colluded with the fake vote scam to put criminals in office, and high tech has silenced all of the dissenters. So I'm going to share a word from the Lord on this right here. You know what? Our prayers work. This is all coming down. No, not to those who are unbelievers out there and claim to be believers. This is all coming down now. People who walk by sight, man, they're up and they're down. They're up and they're down. They're up and they're down. Just walk by faith in God. Don't let anything else come in. "The Lord gave me the following word by faith at random," Claire said. Luke 6:49. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that built a house upon the earth without a foundation, against which the stream brake, and straightway it fell in, and the ruin of that house was great." Pay close attention here. It is so true. Are you just a hearer of the word, not a doer? I have a bunch of hirelings convinced you against the scriptures? It's happening. So here's the dream. "I think it might be a warning for everyone in the body, since praying the warfare prayer," that was a prayer that I passed out a while back, "that David gave us, God has revealed the enemies to me, and he will continue to. And I will continue to be obedient to warn the body. We are in a war. We should not cross enemy lines." "I dreamed I was watching a man do a Zoom conference. There were many people watching this Zoom conference, but I could not see the other people's faces. This man was answering questions from someone. He had pale skin, black eyebrows, a little black mustache, and his hair was black and combed into a severe parting. As he spoke, his face was changing right in front of me. I was so intrigued I leaned in closer. Then his face became the face of a high-tech mogul. Now, she mentioned the name of one right here, and I believe he stepped down, but there are others stepping down too. And you know why? They're caught. They've been caught. It's still happening, folks. They're still arresting people. And guess what? No civil war has openly broken out in the country. It is the grace of God. And the ignorant out there think nothing is happening because they don't see anything. But I can tell you, things are happening. So she leaned in closer. Then his face became the face of a high-tech mogul. Yes. Although he looked more two-dimensional than three-dimensional, maybe because the demons have completely possessed his spirit, soul, and so now he's only an earth suit for them. I agree, they are. And they're into every form of perversion and garbage. They were also roped into the deep state Satanist thing. So, and ruled by them because of blackmail. Now they know too much. They're blackmailed. They have to obey. But after you continue to do something evil and against your conscience, you get taken over by it. That's what happens. You get taken over by it. And you totally agree with it, you see. So as this happened, I realized the previous face was that of none other than Adolf Hitler. Ooh, but it was the deep state high-tech moguls. So just remember this. Hitler deplatformed the Jews. Just as the tech giants have deplatformed the Christians. Have you noticed? With the same ultimate purpose, to kill them. They want to wipe out Christianity. Communists and Satanists, of course, hate Christianity. And perverts, of course, too, hate Christianity. They want it gone. They don't want anybody to tell them they're living a sinful life and going to hell. Yeah, so there's a hatred there. Now, that's not going to get totally wiped out, obviously, you know, but a great deal is going to change. So, will the body of Christ be crucified by these high-tech enemies through unbelief in the salvation that God is sending us through the Trump administration? Yeah, all you have to do is be an unbeliever. In the waiting time for Trump to go back into office, although I'm going to tell you the truth, I know it for a fact, he's still the president. He still rules the military. They've got a show going on right now, and that show is to show everybody what communists do when they come into power. And it is causing people to leave the Democratic Party. It's the wisdom of God. God told us he was the one who put this plan in place. It is wisdom beyond any. We always have a civil war when something like this happens. You know, that's what happens normally. Thank God. Thank God. Yes, there are judgments coming. Mm-hmm. And it is a war. It's just not very surface, you know. So we'll have to endure to the end to see the answer. Just like anything you pray and believe God for, you have to endure in faith to the end to see the answer. So in this waiting time for Trump to go back into office, many are falling away. Pray for them. I got a threat of death from one of them because I believe Trump to be Cyrus. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine that? That's somebody who's factious and full of hatred. It's one of the enemies there, obviously. So, I mean, they don't go out there and attack the lowest and basest of the denominations. No, so they want to pick on you, right? So I believe Trump to be Cyrus, who is going to finish his job of destroying Babylon deep state. Okay, well, we can just wait and see, can't we? I mean, I can patiently wait. I'm not going out and attacking anybody. I looked around me to see if anyone else had seen this transformation, but I was alone with my screen and could not see the other participants. The spirit of Antichrist seems to have taken that man over, just as it did with the men from the 1930s who took the world into a war. Yes, these very factious Satanists, by the way, yes, they were, took us into a terrible war. And they're trying to now. The verse I received by faith at random this morning did not seem to make much sense, but then, when I remembered my dream, it did. I received Jeremiah 43 and 4. In context, Jeremiah 8 through 17. So, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. What was the deal there? Well, they wanted to go down to Egypt, which God commanded them never ever to do again, to trust in the arm of the flesh to keep them from being conquered by Babylon. That's what they wanted to do. And they rebuked the prophet because he prophesied to stay here and trust God. And they refused. And they took off. And, of course, Egypt was invaded by Babylon. And these people, the majority of them, were killed. So, there's a story there. The name Kareah comes from the verb quara, meaning to be bald. Here's an excerpt from Abiram Publications, Biblical Dictionary. The verb quara means to be, become, or to make bald. To make bald? Yeah. It's an adjective. Quarea means bald. Nouns, quora and quarat, mean baldness. Okay. And she says, this is interesting because in my dream, the high-tech mogul was bald. His hair was shaved right off like a convict. Like a convict? Yeah. That's a good sign. There is no glory in participating in a beast system. Well, I agree. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that hair is a sign of glory, and it's a sign of submission to the Lord. Yes, and they have none of that. There's no glory in the evil that they do. Amen. So hang in there, saints. Keep walking with the Lord. Hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not. Everything you've prayed for, you need to be believing. That's what Jesus said. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. You know what God is finding out right now? Who is it that's going to obey him? He said, all things that you pray and ask for, believe you received and you shall have them. So these are the people that can bring the glorious things to light, the people who believe. Not the ones that... that fall away from their belief because of what they see out there, there's a reason this little delay. It's not a delay in the plan. It's a delay that's separating the wheat from the tares. Okay. Okay, now, here is another revelation given to Andrew Galinas on January the 16th, 2021. And we called it a usurper Donald Trump imposter in the leftist house. Oh boy. A usurper Donald Trump imposter in the leftist house. Yes. In reality, I rent a house, but in this dream, I was in an apartment, just like adjoining rooms in hotels. The left-hand wall to this apartment had a closed door that could access my neighbor's apartment. Okay. So a wall between him and the left, where Jesus put the goats, is separated from the right. This wall, there's a separation out there. Everybody can see it, right? And why are all the goats on the left? Yes. Oh, and where is all the crime in America? 90-something percent of the crime in America is in a leftist city. Wow. Crime. And that's just the crime that they get caught. Now they're about to get caught for things that they've been doing for years and years. And boy, they're doing everything they can to stop this D-class, right? So, Andrew goes on to say, in reality, this neighbor lives to our right. So God put him on the left to show you he's a leftist, right? And I've never been successful at making his acquaintance, though I've attempted to several times in the past year, but eventually gave up when he seemed to be purposefully avoiding me. All this was good to give a good parable to and through Andrew, right? Come election time, I noticed that he and his wife had put up a Biden-Harris sign in their yard. Aha! Now we know what the wall is about, right? Yeah. And that's an anti-Christ leftist, which explains why the wall is between you and why he chooses not to company with a Christian. Right? Yes, of course, we know that. They're radically against that. They were trained to do that back in college. Folks, don't send your kids to college. I'm just, you know, well, they got to get ahead. No, that's not getting ahead. Oh, no. No. That's not prosperity, you know. Get rich and split hell wide open? Yeah, no, not a good idea. In the dream, I would meet him for the first time, and it was very pleasant. At one point, I remember shaking his hand and telling him, just let me know if there's ever anything you need. Okay, that's good. I mean, this is the way, there shouldn't be any division in our heart with the people on the left. We want to minister to them. They need it, right? Then, as if the dream started over, I met him again and again, and each time it was slightly different than the last. In one of these sequences, I had entered his home. So remember, there's a wall there. He opened the door and went into the left. And I'm guessing and hoping it was just to see how the left lives, right? Of course. When it appeared that he was away, only to discover that he was completely submerged underwater in a large bathtub in the middle of the living room. Well, kind of like the waters of Noah. This represents the curse of death on the wicked, on the unbelievers, right? The wicked are judged and they die by the waters of God's word. That's where your judgment comes from, straight out of the word of God. Okay. They were life to Noah because he floated above it, right? Because he submitted to the word and built his house to stay above the floodwaters, right? And it was death to the rest who refused the word and laughed at Noah. They laughed and pointed their finger at Noah. You know, you can just know what he's going through because you've gone through it too, right? Yeah, you know it. Later, while still in my neighbor's apartment, I was attempting to play an arcade game that was set up by his front door. It seemed to be geared towards a preschool audience. Notice. And let me say that because of the demons on them, we've been calling them stupid demons because you can tell when they're overtaken by them. The games that they play are stupid to everybody but them. They seem very reasonable to them, and they're very self-righteous about it. It doesn't matter that they're doing it, and the ones they're accusing are not doing it. Doesn't make any difference. They don't know the word hypocrisy. They can't spell it. Okay? The arcade game featured all kinds of animals, like Noah's Ark or Old McDonald's Farm. Okay. So they worship the beast, right? Yes. I became confused when the game started up, but the screen was rotated completely on its right side. Completely on its right side. Notice. The leftists play the game that Trump is an extreme right winger. And of course, every one of us are extreme too and need to be wiped out off the face of the earth, some of them say, you know. And doesn't have the balanced perspective of him. They never have anything but hatred for him. And they pick apart everything he does, and they've dug through his whole life and all of his money dealings and everything trying to get something on him. He must be the cleanest guy on the face of the earth. They haven't found anything that sticks yet. How astounding. What they have done is proven that he is a righteous man. Now, if we went through their history, we find quite the opposite. Yes, that's right. Because you don't have morals. You don't know God's watching over you. You don't think he's ever going to catch up to you. And so you fudge and you fudge and you fudge, and pretty soon you're way out there and you're one of the beasts, right? That's right. As I tilted my head to match the screen's 90-degree angle, Donald Trump appeared to walk in through the front door to my left. There you go. The left Donald Trump. So he's turning his head, leaning it to have this perspective, right? Let me say, it's dangerous to try to see things the way they see things. If you try to understand them and you put down your guard for a minute, you're inviting those demons to be imparted to you. That's why the Bible is so plain about faction. A factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse. Wow. Why is that? Because God knows what these demons do. And the leftists all have factious spirits because they're so divided. They're not Americans anymore. In other words, they're not in unity with their brethren anymore. And they become more and more hateful towards America instead of doing what they can to save it, obviously. They're doing what they can to destroy it. And they're very good at it. Biden is proving how good he would be if people were taking him seriously. What a warning. What they wanted to do was inoculate everybody against communism. So they gave him an office over there in Hollywood. And he said, let's show us what you got there, boy. Put a bunch of blank pages in front of him, and he started signing them, you know. Of course, they got some pictures that they were blank pages, too. And so it's crazy. And let me say, don't try to see things the way they see things. You just keep on seeing things the way you know is right, okay, not left. The left is where Jesus put the rebellious goats, right? And they were forever lost. And as he walked right past me, I perceived that it wasn't the real Trump, but a woman in prosthetics made to look exactly like him. Now, if you find somebody like that today, you would say, oh, that's a pervert. Yeah. Exactly. So if we see things with this perverted view, we will accuse Trump or people like Trump of being exactly what we are, perverted. You see, if you see things perverted, you are perverted. Okay, so don't do that. The left, don't let them sit down and talk you into anything. No. And because there's demons in those words. The leftists are accusing Trump of doing exactly what they are doing. Again, they don't know how to spell hypocrisy. I began to exclaim to my neighbor, that's a woman. That's not really Trump. In the leftist house, Donald Trump is perverted. Not them. They're not perverted. He's perverted. All right. We just had a president and, quote, wife, unquote, that were perverted. And another trying to take his place that is also perverted. Well, how can people get so perverted? Satanism, sacrificing babies, eating them, so on and so forth. Yep. You think I'm crazy? You haven't done enough research. I also pointed out that the imposter was wearing a blue tie. Well, that's the color of the left. Now, Trump wouldn't do that, would he? No. On the voting map, you know, the blue. And I was shouting, look, he never wears a blue tie. Well, come to think of it, that's true. This is a leftist giving a wrong perception of Trump. In other words, blaming him for what they do. And he said, that's the last detail I can remember. Well, that's pretty good. I like that. That's a really clear revelation. Now, here's one that's very important to you, and I hope you receive it. This is from Marie Kelton. We called it Confess the Word Before Men or Fall. She got this on January the 12th. Confess the Word Before Men or Fall. We are supposed to be Christians. We are called to be believers. Disciples, Jesus called them. Disciple means a learner and a follower. A follower of who? A follower of Jesus and his word. If we don't do that, how can we be accused of being a Christian? I knew that from a very young age. I went to one of those dead churches for about a month, and I had been reading the Word because I'd never heard the Word before. I had been a Catholic, and they never taught the Word, so a friend deceived me into reading the Word, and I was converted by reading the Word. I knew the Word was, wow, this is awesome. How come they kept this from me, you know? I learned that we are to emulate what we see in the Word as a disciple, a learner, and a follower of Jesus. And disciples make disciples of Jesus, which means they study him, they do what he said, they follow in his steps. Now, there's a whole lot of Christianity that does not fit into that description at all. Okay? So, let me say before I share Marie Kelton's revelation here, that many Christians walk by sight and not by faith concerning what is happening in the government. Father has told us clearly that he is testing his people, and the righteous will live from faith. We're being tested every day, whether we will believe the Word and have his blessings and provision and healing and deliverance and all, or will we walk by sight and miss out on all of it? Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Faith is very unusual. It's totally foreign to the natural man to say you have something when they can see you don't have something. Well, that's the division between believers and non-believers. Non-believers can't believe, so therefore they are separated. And let me say, Christian non-believers are separated too. They get taken out. They don't get to live out most of their life sometimes because they don't believe the Bible. And as far as the government and the wonderful things God started to do and is planning on finishing, we need to endure in our faith to the end. If we give him the substance, he will give us the miracle. The evidence will be seen. Now, I can tell you, because some people aren't believing, they may not partake. And I know that some people are just in ignorance, and they're just finding out in their innocence things like this, and that's fine. God loves you. He just wants you to understand what he's saying to you is the truth. Read the Bible. In fact, if you haven't thoroughly read the Bible, get out of church and go home and read it, because you don't know what church is unless you read the Bible, and you don't know who Jesus is unless you read the Bible. Get thoroughly convinced of who Jesus is and what the church looks like before you go looking for a church, because you'll get trapped in their religious spirit and stay there for 40, 50 years. Well, you don't have that time anymore. So, if we hold fast the confession of our faith that it wavers not, we're going to have what we believe for. Faith is believing what God says over what we see with our eyes. You know why people are panicking out there? What they see with their eyes. They see a usurper sitting in a fake White House, a fake president in a fake White House, signing fake papers, and they're panicking. And this is why many never receive answers to prayer. Let me say something, that Trump, I'm not a Trump worshiper. I know everything is God. I can see that this is God. I know we need to give God the credit. But Trump is being used by God, and we need to realize that. He's the only man on the face of the earth who has followed in the steps of Cyrus to conquer the Babylonish deep state. He's the only man who has uncovered and repatriated many tons and tons and tons of hidden treasures from darkness that they stole from the people over many, many years. Treasures taken from the Queen, from the Pope, and the deep state underground in the tunnels are more than any individual has had since the world began. And what does God say about Cyrus? Isaiah 45 and 3. And I will give thee, that is Cyrus Trump, the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that it is I, the Lord, who call thee by thy name, even the God of Israel. There is no mistake, folks. There is no mistake here. You know, let the naysayers walk by sight. They will. They always do. But you confess the Lord's word before men, or you will lose it. Here's an exhortation from the Lord on this. Marie's revelation here. She said, I had an open vision during the morning meeting at Denny and Debbie's house. I saw Jesus kneel on the floor. He was dressed in an all-white high priest garment from the Old Testament. He was wearing a white turban on his head. Jesus bowed down all the way to the floor, and I knew he was praying to the Father about something. And she puts very correctly, Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He is our high priest, and the Bible clearly tells us this. He's the high priest of our confession, meaning he needs something to offer before the Father. And it is our confession. The Bible says, hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Hold fast the confession of your hope. That's, hope is something that you're believing before you see, right? Because he is faithful that promised. So if he promises it to you, maybe he did it in a dream, maybe in a vision, maybe in a prophecy, maybe in the word, maybe by a word that he gives to you. You should hold on to it. You should be believing what he says and not what your eyes say. You get nothing for being double-minded. He's unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything of the Lord, he says. So you're not going to get it. There are people out there who are Christians or claim to be Christians that are trying to talk you out of it. But they don't understand faith. And they don't walk by faith. With our confession as a sacrifice of our flesh, Jesus can go to the Father as our high priest. He says, if you confess me, Jesus the Word, right, before men, I will confess you before the Father. And in another part, and the angels. It's important to confess us before the angels. The angels are the ministering spirit sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. So we need the angels' favor from God, right? This confession is important. You have no sacrifice if you don't confess his name. Okay? Confess means to speak the same as. Now, it doesn't matter what way God speaks to you. When he spoke to Abraham, he wasn't speaking to him out of the Bible. When he spoke to Abraham, he made him a promise that looked impossible. But he finally came around to faith in about the last year or so. And when he did, the answer came. He waited for years and years and years. And finally he believed, and the answer came. And many out there who are listening to me today, you're not getting your answers. You will not confess him before men. If you will do that, if you will pray and believe you have received, and you will confess him before men, you will see the answer. Some of you got saved like that. You made a confession of faith. It was very simple. You believed and repented and received the Spirit of the Lord. I'm talking about a born-again spirit, not the Holy Spirit, which comes when you after that, okay, usually. So, do you want to be confessed before the Father? Confess what he has told you, what you have seen. Don't get double-minded because people are saying, ah, they gave us false hope. Hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not. How would they know it's false hope if they don't wait to see? Then Jesus' clothing changed. He no longer had the high priest's garment on. Wonder why? You know, without our confession and that garment, he couldn't go before the Father for us to confess us before him to receive our needs. And we need special grace right now. This is special grace. Nobody's ever deserved this. Nobody in America deserves this. We deserved Obama. Yeah. This is grace. Do you want grace? Well, how does it come? Through faith, which calls the things that be not as though they were. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Notice, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It didn't say he was righteous, manifestly. It was accounted. He was considered righteous because he believed God, not his eyes. You know, he considered his body. It was too dead to bear fruit. He had no hope of bearing fruit on his own. It had to be a miracle. Well, the Christian life is a miracle life. If you walk by faith. If you don't, it's just as dead as a doornail. You know? Well, he had on a white linen robe, but he didn't have on the high priest's robe, right? And Jesus was kneeling on the floor with his head hanging low. Yeah. I can believe that. Like he was in agony. And I knew he was praying to the Father. Yes, he is sad, I believe, because so many are continuing to believe what the, are not continuing to believe what the prophets have said, that their prayers are answered. They're not holding fast the confession of their hope, that it wavers not. You know, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. And here's a description of how faith works. Mark 11:23-24. And it's as true today as it was ever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he still says the same things, and he still has the same doctrine. So therefore, pay attention to this, because some of the apostates out there call it name it and claim it. I call it the normal Christian life, getting answers to prayer. And I've discovered that that's what this does. Mark 11:23-24. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now I know from studying the scriptures, I saw that the mountain he was talking about when he was heading to Jerusalem was the Mount of Olives. It was called by them the Mount of Abominations because of all the Babylonish idols on top of it, many of which Solomon put up there for his pagan wives, right? So he was talking seriously about this mountain, and he said, be thou taken up and cast into the sea. Do we want to get rid of this mess? It's all in the church. So he's telling us we are to give it a command to be taken up and to cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now that's what I'm hearing, a lot of doubt out there. But shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass. He shall have it. If you don't doubt, you speak it and believe it and accept it as done, he said you'll have it. And the next verse confirms that. 24. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them. Now, this word receive is actually received in the manuscripts. Even in the received text, it has a footnote that this is received or have received. This is the secret why there's no power in the church, because they don't know what faith is. This is faith. This is how faith works. This is how you walk in the Spirit. This is how you walk in the steps of Jesus to see miracles. This is the reason, an understanding of faith. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them. And it's past tense, received them. You know why? Because it all was given at the cross, every bit of it. And you shall have them. You want grace from God, which is unmerited favor? This is what God's doing in this nation, unmerited favor. Now, God gave a little test here, and people are wavering. They're double-minded. He said, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass. They're getting double-minded. And they're turning to try to make everybody else double-minded. And they're so self-righteous because they want to criticize the people who won't be double-minded. Our faith confession before our high priest should be, thank you for answering our prayers, Lord. Have you been praying for success in this regard? I know that you have been praying. I know everybody out there is trembling with the thought that their prayers might not be answered. But that's just double-mindedness. Start, if you asked God to save us from this bunch of demon-possessed Satanists, do you believe it? Do you believe he's answered you? Have you received it? Thank you for answering our prayers, Lord, that we have received this grace from you to have Satan and his house cast out of our government, our church, and our country. Thank you, Lord. Just start thanking him. Stop listening to double-minded people. Just start thanking him. It's a test. There is a test of your faith. Have you ever read James chapter 1? Your faith is going to be tested. By what? Your sight. It's the normal, natural thing that happens in everything that you receive from the Lord. Do you hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not? Hope means a firm expectation. Are you firmly expecting your prayers to come to pass? Thank you for answering our prayers, Lord. And yes, Lord, we received this grace from you to have Satan and his house cast out of our government, our church, and our country. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be a marvelous miracle. It's going to bring about a great revival. Not the naysayers. Pray for them that they repent. Pray for them to believe. Pray for them to have dreams and visions and revelations and true prophecies. Yeah. And so, she said, the verse came to me about this. Luke 22, 41 through 44. And he was parted from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was and is being rejected by his own people, who failed to walk by faith in what he said concerning what he will do in these days. And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Sounds exactly like what she saw. And his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. You know what? He suffers for our failures. He suffers when we don't give him a sacrifice of the confession that is in agreement with what he has said. He suffers. Hebrews 6, 4 through 12. Think about this. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, which I believe is Christ, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God, I agree that a lot of people haven't received some of these things. They haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they haven't tasted the good word of God. They've been trusting other people to bring them the good word of God. Yeah, that's a dangerous thing to do. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, we're told. Don't trust men. And the powers of the age to come, and then fell away. Well, folks, I'm seeing people out there who are baptized in the Spirit falling away. Falling away from their faith, falling away from what they prayed for, falling away from what God started and began through Trump and did a miraculous job, a miraculous job. Who could have done that but God? If he's not the right guy in office, he sure has been having success. Come on now. And then fell away. It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. How do you crucify the Son of God afresh? Because Christ is growing in you. Through your faith, he is growing in you. He is manifesting his fruit in you. He's manifesting his grace in you. Where does grace come from? your faith. By grace have you been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it's a gift from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, right? So, you want to put to death Christ in you? It's very simple. All you have to do is go back unto the flesh. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. That's what Paul said. You must die, and you will die if you walk after the flesh. How do you walk after the Spirit? How do you walk in the Spirit, which is totally contrary to human nature? You walk by faith. And you endure to the end. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So you see what's happening out there? And then he warns, for the land, by the way, we are the land, by the way. We're taking this promised land. We're kicking out the old Canaanite, the old fleshly mind and ways. And the new man, the spiritual man, is walking into the land to live in this house and raise his fruit around this house, right? So for the land which hath drunk the rain, this is the word from heaven, that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them whose sake it is also tilled. In other words, it brings forth fruit from the word that falls from heaven, right? Remember the manna falling from heaven? And who did Jesus say? He was. He was the word made flesh, right? He was the manna from heaven. So, if you bear fruit, he says, receiveth blessing from God. If you bear the fruit of Jesus Christ, his word, his way, his faith, because he gave you his faith, reconciliation is what he accomplished. Reconciliation means an exchange. In at the cross, if you believe it now, it doesn't work if you don't believe it. If you believe it, he made an exchange. He gave you his faith and took away your unbelief. It's a sin. So you can receive blessing from God. All you got to do is be a minister of reconciliation. You know how you're a minister of reconciliation when you preach to others? By exchanging their life for his life through the faith that you preach, the good news. You're causing them to give up their old life and take on the new life of Christ, the born-again life of Christ. What about yourself? Can you pass on something that you don't have? If you don't have faith, can you pass it on? No. You don't know what it is. Most of the church doesn't know what faith is, nor how to exercise it. And they call the people that do exercise it crazy. That's how far they have fallen. Okay, those who hold fast to this, his word, are going to bear fruit. That's what he's saying here. That rain will bring forth the fruit. But if it bears thorns and thistles, what does that represent? Do you remember what the thorns represented in the Old Testament? The curse. The curse on our fleshly rebellion, our fleshly ways, right? If it bear thorns and thistles, it is rejected and nigh unto a curse. So unbelief is what brings the curse. Unbelief in the rain from heaven, the word of God that came down out of heaven that gives life to the world. Nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned. It don't matter if you call yourself a Christian or not. In fact, that's who he's talking to. But, beloved, we're persuaded of better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. By the way, soteria is used concerning all forms of salvation, which much of the church denies. It's just there. Saved is just the verb of salvation. Soteria. And sozo is the verb, saved. And what are you saved from? Well, the terminology is used for healing, deliverance, provision, salvation in circumstances. It's used in all those ways in the scripture. So, do you want salvation from this crazy bunch of lunatic Satanists that want to kill you? They want to kill your babies? Sacrifice them to Satan? Harvest the adrenochrome so they can get high? How wicked these people become. Totally reprobate. And they don't want you to know that. That's why this D-class frightens them, and they are threatening everything in the world, from plagues to whatever, everything, nukes, whatever. And they're trying to sabotage the economy to make you poor, to make you starving, so that you are at their mercy. Yes. You need salvation right now, don't you? We all need salvation right now, don't we? We want things that accompany salvation because we have faith in what the Lord has said. Don't hinder what the Lord has said concerning this revolution in government. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed towards his name, in that you ministered unto the saints, and still do minister. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope, even to the end. Oh, praise the Lord. Do you hear what he's saying? This is what God is desiring concerning this salvation that the Lord is trying to give to us. And I'm praying people will repent and turn back to God and pray and believe their prayers. He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. You want to put something in the hands of your high priest, so that it can be offered before the Father from someone who is favored of the Father, our high priest, right? So show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope, even unto the end, so that you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. All right. Do you want to inherit the promises that we've heard? Don't be sluggish. Be imitators of them. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. And Jesus was not pleased in this revelation. So believe the word until the end, or you will not inherit the promise. Oh, somebody else might, because they're believing, right? They can inherit the promise. God's got a way of taking people out that don't believe and giving people the answer and the promise because they do believe. So I say, don't give in. Walk by faith. You know that what Trump gave us was time. He gave us time. He came because of the prayers of the saints to give us time. Now some people want to throw this away. Oh my. Yeah, you see the great reversal when he came? Just a little bit of common sense turned everything around. So Hold fast the confession of your hope. Okay, let me say this to you naysayers out there. Why don't you pray that God would give us this awesome grace? We are risking by this unbelief. This double-mindedness. Justice. So let's hold fast the confession of our hope. Those of you out there, pray. If you don't believe me, you just do what Jesus said. Pray for this revival. Pray for it to continue. And then hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not. That's what you're commanded to do. Anybody that's not doing that, they're the ones in rebellion, not me. It doesn't matter if you disagree with me about who Trump is. That makes no difference whatsoever. Did you pray that God would change this thing that we're in, this satanic thing, and turn it around and bring grace and bring revival and so on? Did you pray that? Now, are you believing that you have received? If you're not, you're the one in rebellion. Do you understand? You are the one in rebellion. And you're double-minded, and you will not receive. So it doesn't matter if you disagree with me. There's a lot of disagreement in Christianity. We can still be Christians, not threatening death to people. So pray and believe you have received, and we will see it. That's what Jesus said. He promised that. This is not my promise. I didn't make this up. I've lived this way for many, many years, and I know it works. I've received a miraculous life because of, for instance, just these two verses I just read to you, Mark 11:23-24. A miraculous life. We need to walk in the miracles of Jesus. How can you walk in the steps of Jesus if you don't walk in the miracles of Jesus? It's not possible. It's not possible. So hold fast the confession of your hope. Pray, hold fast the confession of your hope. Keep on believing the Lord. Keep on believing. Don't pay any attention to people that talk against what you have prayed for. You make your own future. You are making your own future by praying and believing you have received. They want to take away your future by talking you out of what you've prayed. It doesn't matter, even if they were right, which they're not. If they say Trump is not Cyrus, I don't argue about that. Here is a way around this little problem. Pray, believe you have received. You exercise. If you're not exercising your faith and sending forth the angels of God to bring it forth, because they are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation, if you're not doing that, you're a part of the problem. You're not a part of the solution. So pray against everything you see that is demonic, that is wrong, that is evil. Pray against it and believe you have received. This is how you change things. Have you ever gone into churches where they've got this long prayer list that never changes? They never cross any of them out until they die, right? You know what I'm talking about? I went into a church like one time and showed them how to pray the prayer of faith, because that's what they had, a long prayer list. And I said, you elders, you're not doing what the Bible says. The Bible says, call for the elders of the church, let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and a prayer of faith shall raise them up. And one of the elders said, that's right. How come we don't do that? So he went and got a bunch of these guys that were elders in that particular church, and they went out and prayed for people. And this guy came to me and he said, David, we prayed, nothing happened. I said, that's because you don't know what faith is. If we pray in faith, we will see answers. I said, how about you and I go and pray for the same people? That's what I told his elder. He said, okay, let's do it. So we went and prayed for them. Miracle after miracle happened. Yeah. People got off the list. Yeah. And then he was amazed. I said, well, it's written right there in the Bible. It's very simple. We're walking in the steps of Jesus here. You know, I shared with him what faith was about and how it worked. And he didn't know that. He'd never been taught that in his church. So you can imagine they didn't have any results. Yeah. Well, but God gives results to people that pray and believe they have received. Because they're going against their flesh. They're going against their natural eyesight. You know, the senses have to be polished by the Word of God. Remember, David picked up 5 smooth stones. The senses. To kill Goliath, he only needed 1. He spoke it out of his mouth, just like Mark 11:23, and he believed it because he confessed it right away. And boom, Goliath was gone. One of the giants in the land was gone. Yeah, he only needed 1. The tongue. Yes, I'm going to feed you to the birds, and I'm going to take off your head. I'm going, little bold little David, you know. But he'd been practicing for a long time with the bear and the lion, and, you know, he'd just been practicing, you know, till he came up to Goliath, and this was just one more step higher. He was used to it. And Saul's mouth was hanging open. He wanted to put his armor on little David. He said, David tried that stuff on, he would have fell on the ground and never got up. He said, I haven't proved this stuff. So he took a rock. God wanted to show his mighty power. A rock, I don't know if you've ever practiced with a sling before. I have. First of all, it's pretty hard to hit something. I could hit a tree. And I'm telling you, by the sound of a good rock hitting a tree, it hits fast. It hits hard, you know. I could hit a tree. I could hit a picket fence. I could, you know, whatever. You know, I did that when I was a kid. And out on the end of that long string like that, when you let it go, oh, my gosh, if it hits a giant in the forehead, it's going to take him down. I'm not saying God's supernatural authority didn't make that rock fly right and hit him hard. It's true. But a sling hits real hard. Much harder than a slingshot. Much harder. And anyway, little David, God wanted to show his power was made perfect in weakness. Little David couldn't even hold up the armor of Saul. So he went out there with a rock. And here's a man fully dressed in battle, for battle, had a spear like a weaver's beam. Oh, my goodness, he could have swiped it across David's feet away from him, you know. But he couldn't outrun that rock. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the victory you have given unto us, O Father. Father, let us all be little Davids. You know, let us send forth the word like a rock straight to the forehead of the giant, Lord God. And let us say what we're going to do before we do it by faith, just like David did. He said, I'm going to feed you to the birds. I'm going to take off your head. That confession, God heard it. He heard it, and he knew David believed it, and he brought it to pass. And so the Philistines fled, because they saw, if a little boy could take down our giant, what chance have we got against these people? They fled in fear. Yeah. Well, Father, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you put your faith in the heart of your people, not to short-circuit this thing that you want to do with their unbelief, which you said you cannot answer. You cannot answer it. Think not that you receive anything from the Lord, because you're the double-minded man. Think not. So, if you want to be a partaker in these blessings that are coming, I'm going to be. If you want to be a partaker in these blessings that are coming, you better start confessing Jesus. I mean, these examples in the Old Testament and in the New are for us. They're for us. They are examples of what faith will do in us and through us. People who pray, remember what Jesus said. You're not going to be heard for your much speaking. Oh God, give me this, give me that. I want this, I want that. Please, please, please. Where's your faith? That's your substance. You want me to build a house? Where's the bricks? Our faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. You want to give God the substance? Well, he can give you the miracle. Right? And it's very displeasing to God that we're supposed to be believers, but we don't believe. So, Father, have mercy on us. Please forgive us, Lord, of our ignorance, of our failure. Please forgive us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father. Forgive us. And let us start out again in faith. We can pray that Trump be Cyrus and finish this job. Can we do that? He said all things whatsoever, didn't he? So we, even if we didn't believe in that, we could believe in that. We could ask God, Lord, make this guy a Cyrus. To take down this Babylonian system, to give us just a little time before the tribulation starts in earnest, especially in the middle of the tribulation when the beast makes war against the saints. Lord, give us a little time. Lord, help the brethren out there to renew their faith and to pray, and you will answer. You didn't make conditions on that answer. You said all things whatsoever. Okay, Lord, I am praying that Trump is Cyrus. You're going to make him Cyrus, even if they thought he wasn't Cyrus. That you make him Cyrus and let him take down Babylon. Take it down, Lord. It's corrupting the whole world. Lord, I certainly would want to enter the tribulation with a man like Trump rather than a bunch of goofs that have been in there, who don't know how to fix anything, but know very well how to break everything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing it, Lord, through us. Thank you for putting faith in these unbelieving people out there that believe they're somebody. But they're nobody if they don't have faith and they don't walk and speak faith. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, you made reconciliation. We should not say we don't have faith. That's a lie. Reconciliation means an exchange. An exchange. Katalasso. An exchange. We made an exchange at the cross. All of our sinful life and our nature was nailed on that cross, and we were given the gift of Jesus Christ. And he don't know how to be in unbelief. So don't say you don't have this. You were given this at the cross. You have his faith. And that's how the fruit of Jesus grows in you, is when you look in the mirror and you see Jesus, 2 Corinthians 3:18. What are you saying? That Jesus lives in me, and I don't live anymore. Paul's good confession. I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. Now, he made you free from sin. That's what the Bible says in Romans 6. Sixth book, sixth chapter, sixth verse. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. So, unbelief, that's a sin. Unbelief, Jesus took it. He nailed it to the cross. You don't have it anymore. Hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not. He is faithful that promised. You want to walk like Jesus walked? You got to have faith. You got his faith. You were given his faith. So don't say you don't have the faith. Start confessing that you do have the faith. I have the faith of Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, have the faith of God, literally. Right? Not the faith of man, the faith of God. Literally, he said that. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this revelation. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this miracle through Trump and through people like him who are out there and want to see a change from this satanic rebellion. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We love you so much, and we praise you, Father. Hallelujah. All right, saints, God bless you, and thank you so much for joining me today and being so very patient with me. Forgive me, and I forgive you. Okay? Amen. Good night. God bless.